Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful Wisconsin Dells, Kalahari Resort, for that conference, which is a really fun conference. We get to hang around the fire. I told you it would come out at awkward times. It's like those dudes are like, let's find a way to make it awkward during Seth's video. We're here talking to professionals about some of the stuff they're talking about. This is your first that conference, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
Okay.
We'll try to get this out of the way.
I'm Michelle Munstead. I'm a quality assurance architect at J.J. Keller & Associates.
Fantastic. So what does that mean?
Well, basically, it means that I'm testing software. I'm looking for, is it working properly? Are there any problems in it? Personally, I do a lot of automated testing for both our web and mobile applications. I'm also involved in trying to design what we call a software immune system, a system that basically will automatically find the problems in our software.
That's amazing. Like I'm trying to think about this because usually like we had a when I used to write real software, now I only write demoware kids. We used to have a QA person, but the way that you're describing it feels like a pretty long process. So, let's start from the I don't have a process. What would be your suggestion to someone out there listening that feels like they need a better QA process? What would you set up? What would you tell them?
Okay. Well, at J.J. Keller, what we have is continuous delivery. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at trying to release our software into production at a very frequent rate.
Sure.
So obviously, we need to do a lot of testing frequently with that. So in order to do that, what we have is a whole system set up that basically we're always testing our software. As soon as we check in code into our CI build, we automatically have a smoke test that's kicked off right
away.
What's
a smoke test, for those who don't know?
Okay. Smoke test is where we test our software at a very high level. We're looking at those basic features
sure.
and determining if it's working at a high level.
So I interrupted you. You do the CI, and it goes into, it's integrated, the first test of the smoke test. Mm-hmm. Then what would you do?
Yep, so if that test passes, and only if it passes, yep. it will continue through our delivery pipeline. So then we would continue on to our development build. Mm-hmm. And from there, we actually have a more detailed smoke test that we run, which again is automated. It's automatically kicked off. We use Jenkins build server for
Fantastic.
That. And if that passes, it will progress through to our quality assurance environment where we run yet even more detailed automated tests. So at each level, as our build progresses through that pipeline, we have these quality gates set up.
And
those are our automated tests. And our build has to pass the tests at each one of those steps in order to proceed.
So all of these tests, it's all automated. The machine does all of the work.
Yeah, I'm just referring to our automated tests. We do have manual tests that we do along the way as well. In order for the build to proceed to our next level environment, it has to pass our automated tests.
And obviously there's builds that pass at certain levels and others that just don't.
Right, right. And if they don't, then our developers are going to have to make a fix
yeah.
and some kind of change and then make another check-in. And that creates yet another CI build, which again progresses through our pipeline.
So you mentioned to me, you gave a talk here. Why don't you tell us the title of your talk?
Sure. My talk was Boost Your Immune System with DevOps. So I was comparing the human immune system with a software immune system.
Interesting, because you sort of made this, there's a fly
yes,
here, too. It's great.
It's just like camping.
It's like we're literally camping. So you talked about sort of this whole sort of process where all of a sudden the software delivery pipeline becomes like this living, breathing organism. I'd love to hear your analogy.
Okay, sure. Well, we know our human immune system has all different characteristics. First of all, it's automatic. It's automatically finding those pathogens for us. We don't even have to think about
right.
it, right? We also can say it's divided into layers. We have our external and internal systems.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a segregation of duties. We have specific cells in our bodies that are doing specific jobs. Some
mm-hmm.
are looking for pathogens in certain areas or fighting certain types of germs.
Mm-hmm.
We can also say that it has what we call innate immunity, which is that rapid response. A bug comes along and we quickly respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have response which is over time, adaptive immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So you're exposed to a pathogen once, and then if you're exposed to it again later on, our bodies know how to respond more quickly.
Sure.
And then one more thing is our immune system is always giving us feedback. We always know something about the state of our health. Usually that means we're feeling good or we're not feeling so good. So I took all those six characteristics and applied them to a software immune system. So like the first one, automatic, right? You know, so with a software immune system, we want our system to be automatic. We're automatically creating a build when someone checks in code. We're automatically kicking off the tests for the software. You know, we're automatically, we have a tool to automatically control and orchestrate our release management.
Sure.
Then we have our segregation of duties. I have specific tests doing specific jobs. So we don't just have one long-running test for our software. We divide it up into pieces. And then we also have multiple layers in our software immune system, too, where we, and this is kind of key, because we want to find those really important bugs in our system first, not later. You know, we don't want to, at the very end of your testing, right before you deliver, find out you have some really critical,
horrible
problem. So we try to test those types of tests first and then save the details for later. And then feedback. You know, we talked about our human immune system feedback. Well, software immune system, we're always getting feedback as well. That's giving us information about the state of the health of our software.
So this is a pretty amazing analogy, because I think it speaks to the complexity of doing DevOps properly. Right? I mean, because look, I've done interviews on DevOps where I'm just like, I know that DevOps is about people, process, and product, but what does that actually look like in practice? And I love how you sort of laid out sort of different aspects of it. What does that look like in practice? I mean, let's talk tools for a second. You probably use a certain number of pipelines. You can share whatever you're comfortable with. How do you do the automatic stuff? How do you do the gating? What systems do you put in place in order to do that for someone that wants to do it this way?
Okay. Well, we use Microsoft Release Management for orchestrating our releases. We've used Chef in order to help us with setting up all of our virtual environments. We have some different automated tools we use for our actual testing. We use IBM Rational Functional Testers, as well as Calabash for testing our mobile applications. We have a Jenkins build server that controls all of our builds for us. So there's a lot of different tools all in place, you know, to help us automate all of these processes.
And that's interesting, because I think the tools is a secondary issue to what you actually want to do. So how do you architect? Do you have to sit down and plan this entire pipeline? Because, I mean, I've never heard QA architect, but it seems like it's a very apt description of what you're doing.
Yep, certainly. I mean, that is my job. I'm QA architect. So, yeah, we had to really think about, okay, for this whole process, just, you know, we know that we have all of these different stages that we want to go through with our different builds, but where do we want our tests to occur, and which types of tests should we run at which point in time? I touched on that, how it's important to run those more complicated tests first, so we're trying to pull out those critical bugs first.
It's a pretty amazing, like I said, the analogy, like I was like, you first said it's like the immune system. I'm like, oh, it can't be that complicated. But now that I think about it, like every aspect of what you said had to do with how you test things, where you put things, and why you put things where you put things. So what interaction do you have with developers in order to make this process better? And what interaction do you have with IT people to make this process better?
Okay. Well, our teams are divided in Scrum teams. We have a pretty large development staff, actually. We have like six different Scrum teams all working off the same product backlog. But our QA are part of our development team, so we're in constant communication each other. It's not like we have, you know, QA on one side and we're throwing things over the wall back and forth. So that's great, because we're constantly on the same page. You know, we all estimate our work together. We develop our product together. We're testing.
So QA is a part of the process at the very beginning.
Yes.
That's awesome. So where can people go to find out more about your talk and sort of the stuff that you write this stuff down? This is great.
Okay. Well, I did share my slides. Those are out on GitHub.
We'll put the links down below, obviously.
Okay. Do you want me to give you those links now?
Yeah, please. Okay.
Yeah, so it's on github.com. It's MICMIC2008.
Nice.
That's my username, so you'll find my slides there.
Do you blog or anything?
I actually don't. No.
Oh, man. She's got some knowledge up in there, man. We need to let it
start.
We need to let it out because, the thing I have find difficulty with DevOps is people talk about it in generalities, but you are probably one of the first people that I've met that can come, like, you're a QA person and you're comfortably talking about your process. If I was a QA person, I'd always be worried about something being wrong, but you set up your system like if it was an immune system, so you know if there's something wrong.
Well, that's the point. And you kind of bring up another interesting aspect, which is that we're not really only just looking for bugs.
Yeah. You know,
there's this idea that QA's job is just to find bugs, but really, QA's job is to provide feedback on the health of the system.
Sure.
And when you think of it that way, you know, it kind of all makes more sense because you're not just looking for a particular bug. You're saying, what is the state, the health of my system at this point in time? Mm-hmm. So that any time you should be able to tell the business, you know, whether a build is going to be ready for release or not.
And with confidence, too.
With confidence, right.
Because
that's the point.
We deploy on a Friday night and sometime during Sunday we're like, okay, now it's in. But with this kind of process, you know when it's ready and when it's not.
Right, because we're constantly testing.
That's awesome.
That's the hope.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. This has been really informative. We're here at the Kalahari Resorts for that conference. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez, Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.